Good morning. While I am getting here things ready, I got a new tool on my face here. So Stanley just gave me something, so we'll be trying this out. He knows I move around, so he gave it to me in advance before I asked him. As some of you already remembered that what a privilege for us to come. It's a privilege to come to His presence while you are alone or in different ways, but come around with the God's people in one place. There's nothing like this. Thank you. Many of you new ones have joined, new ones in the sense coming back after some time. Thank you for coming back. We still have a lot more seats. We will be opening seats as people come in, but we'll continue to use the mask. We are very safe here. So all others who are not coming, we encourage you to come. Interestingly, last week, somebody came and told me, so he had to use a GPS to come here. He almost forgot how to get here. Don't get into that stage. Come and be with us. We love to see you come. By the way, this morning, Brother A.B. Rajan told me the governor has opened all public places to be opened at least up to 75%. So we are not there yet. So things are changing fast. At some point, I don't know when that date will be, some point elders will have to decide to turn off the Zoom. So you might as well consider coming and be here. It won't be any time, but we'll give you enough advance notice before it happens, but that will happen sometime in the future. We have together last few times I spoke, I was speaking from the epistle of 1 John. And this morning we are going to continue from there. And as I normally do, we will take time to read the entire chapter in a minute here. But in the last three times we looked at that an overall theme John the Apostle had, and which I called the birthmarks of a true believer. And we looked at it very extensively. And the second time when I was here, we looked at our fellowship with God and its various aspects of our fellowship with Him. As John himself puts it, he was an eyewitness to that fellowship. And the third time we looked together, our fellowship to one another within the body of Christ, the church. And we also looked at how to maintain that fellowship one another. And it is possible that our fellowship one another and to the Lord can be temporarily broken, either by our sin or our sinful lifestyle, which is unconfessed before Him. So this morning we are going to go to chapter 3. We looked at 1 and 2 last two times, and this morning we'll go to chapter 3 and expounds the truth of love and righteousness and the confidence we have in Him. So I'm going to request our young brother Asher to come up here. Please read 1 John chapter 3, the entire chapter. As he is reading, I would request you to please be carefully listening to what he is reading, and we will go back to the chapter when he is finished.
Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed that what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us.
Thank you, Asher. If you turn one previous chapter, the last verse, the 29th verse of chapter 2 says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of God. John brings a tremendous, eternal, unchangeable truth that in that one verse, which we didn't look at last time, because we are not going every single verse. It establishes a truth that in the physical realm, there is an old saying that says, like begets like. In other words, an apple only produces apple and it cannot produce orange or vice versa. And this is also proven scientifically, although people tried in different things to do to go beyond God's creation. So like begets like. That's what John says there. In other words, God, when he created us or recreated us, when we were born again, we were born of God. Because God is righteous and love, he can only create us in righteousness and love. So John establishes that in this chapter, as well as in that verse, the last verse of chapter 2. And if God gives rebirth to us, he can only produce a righteous person. He cannot create an unrighteous, because God is righteous and we are his children. John says that everyone that is born of God practices righteousness. If you were paying attention while we were reading, because God is righteous and we are his children, we are born or reborn into his family. Chapter 3 verse 1 is one of the most famous words that most of us has either known or are very familiar to us, very, very important to us. It reads like this: behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. It is a very familiar verse to us. Many times we read, even during the worship meeting, we often sing a song in song number 30 in our hymns and praise of hymns of truth and praise. Behold, what manner of love, what boundless love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That song is based upon these words. So John begins to say that God's love is something that is in his nature. God is love, says John. God is righteous, as we read in this passage. So our red book, I happened to turn to the red book and counted the number of songs that are written on the subject of love. That book has 83 different themes out of 675 songs. 83 different themes. But the theme of love alone in that book is about 62 songs talking about the love of God. You know, if you take the average of other 82, it's about 8 per theme. The songwriters, when they were exercised by the Spirit of God, they sat down and wrote the songs. We can see their heart was overwhelmed by the love of God, and it prompted them to write more songs on love than God's love than any other theme. Yeah, you probably see some other themes like gospel song, maybe almost as equal. So the subject of love is a great emphasis in this chapter. When we read that, I'm going to go a little fast here. There's a lot of subject to cover, you know, themes to cover in this. So if I go too fast, bear with me. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We know that we will see him. If you are a truly born again child of God, we have the full assurance we shall see him. But when we shall see him, we shall be like him. I think we shall be like him when we see him. We will not be like him in 100% aspect. I will explain. But before I go to the likeness that we will be with him, there is a word that in the original translation, that there is a word that explains, there are three more English words added in some translation. He says, and we are. That gives no doubt. Are we the children of God? It doesn't say we will be, or it doesn't say we may be, or any question or any doubt. That translation says, and we are, it says. Not that we may not be, maybe, or can be, but we are the children of God. What an assurance that we have. The Lord himself said in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, he said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. If this meeting was in another denomination, you will probably hear about 10 people saying hallelujah. But we don't do that, do we? Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. John is taken up in this verse that he says, he is at awe and wonder at the thought of being born of God. He then invites you and me, his readers, to take a look at this love and wonderful love that brought us into the family of God. I don't know whether you get excited to think about that. Oh my goodness, how can this be? Is it really true? Is it believable? How I am in the family of God. And we have lost the excitement and the joy of it. The Lord said, rejoice because you are in the family of God. When we talk about love, there is all kinds of love in this world. All other forms of love in this world are boundaries. Boundaries and limits. But here God's love has no bound, says John. And the songwriter says, boundless love. We should never ever take this position in which God has brought us into his family ever so lightly in our life. Sometimes I myself was probably in that boots many years ago when I was a young man, got saved and I was baptized. I knew I was saved. I still believe I am saved. But there are times that I took my life as very lightly. Oh yeah, I am saved. Now I will go to heaven. End of the story. Unfortunately, that is the stand that many believers take today. Especially those are younger ones that who are being baptized. As they grow up, they lose the interest of the salvation And they forget the fact that they belong to the family of God. We must never take it lightly, whether you are young, old like me, or anywhere in between. We should recognize that we are the children of God. Indeed, the world does not understand us. You walk around and go to work and go to shop or wherever we go. Nobody is going to look at you and say, oh, this is a born-again Christian, unless you tell them. The Lord said, don't worry, don't be surprised if that doesn't happen. They won't and they don't have to. Because he came to his own and his own received him not. That is a tremendous statement. Have you ever thought, you as a person, you go back to your family, extended family and friends where you grew up, you go back to them and they rejected you and didn't even recognize you. Have you ever thought like that? How will you feel if that happens? This is what the Lord said. He came to his own and his own received him not. So don't be surprised that you are not received, or don't be surprised you are rejected or you are not recognized. It can happen, and the Lord did warn us. However, John says, whether we understood or not, whether others recognize us or not, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we do know. Do you know? Let me ask you this question. Do you know for sure that we know that when Christ is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'm sure most of us have that full assurance. My point is, sometimes we lose that interest, lose the importance, lose the assurance that God gives us. And we shall be like him when we will see him. There is a story, it's a short story of an artist. But artists generally, when they do paintings, they have an idea, they have a picture in their mind. That picture is a 100% full picture in their minds. So this artist, one day he started putting his idea. He knew what exactly it's going to look like. At the end, when he's finished, he started putting paint, dots of paint and colors on a piece of canvas every single day. He added more into it. And one day a visitor came and the artist asked him, do you see my beautiful painting? And the visitor said, no. I only see a few drops of paint and some dots of different colors. And the artist replied, that's exactly right. Because you only see what is visible on the canvas, but in my mind is a fully completed, beautiful painting that I see. You got the point? You look at me, I look at Alex or any one of us. We will only see few dots of paint and colors. My Heavenly Father, he has a beautiful picture about me and you in his mind. When it is all done and complete, everyone in that day, when we see him, and that day alone, we will see the fullness of it, the glory into which you and I are invited and translated, and his hand and his mind about you and me will be fully revealed that day. And that is the story really talking about. Today he is working on us. I think there's a song like that. He is still working on me. Yes, there may be a dot today, a paint tomorrow. Things that are being built as days go by. One day when we see him, we shall fully know him. And our glory, into which that you and I are called into, will be fully revealed only that day. Until then, it is partially from the scriptures, by the Holy Spirit, from songs and writings, we do get some idea what we will be. But John says, it is not yet revealed what we will be. But one day when we see him, beloved, is going to the most surprising day ever in our life. And we'll ponder at his feet. You know, when I was reading this first verse, one thought came to me, I want to say that to you. If you put the emphasis on the word we while we are reading, with that emphasis I am going to read that verse. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed us upon us, that we should be called the children of God. That I should be called the children of God. That made a lot more difference in my own personal thinking about Him. Yes, Lord, there are 7.4 billion people on earth. Why me? Why me? That we should be called the sons of God. Have you ever wondered? I wonder many times. When I read the scriptures, when I meditate, when I pray, when I think about things, I always think, Lord, why me? God could have chosen another millions of others. So He says that when we see Him, we shall be like Him. I want to give a few seconds on that word. When we shall see Him, we shall be like Him. How much of likeness we get. For those who understand Malayalam, there was an old Malayalam song I loved in my young life. I sang it many times. I'll say that, translate that in English first, and then I'd say it in Malayalam. The meaning of that song says, pour out your character in me. Listen to the second statement of that song. Fill me with your divine glory. If I understood the word, language correctly. Or in Malayalam, it says, Ennil nin subhavam pagaraname, divya tejasal enne nirakkaname. I sang it very for most of my life. But at some point, I recognized this is wrong theology. God is not going to fill you with His divine glory. Scripture says He is not going to share His glory with anyone. We will not share His glory as the Lord has glory. We will see His glory. We shall be different from even anything that you can imagine. But you will not be a divine person. Although that's what the songs say. So I stopped singing that part of the song. So you can enjoy Christ. You cannot enjoy Christ and world at the same time if you understand these basic truth that John is bringing into us. But there is a song that says, the things of earth will grow strangely dim. How? And when? In the light of His glory and His grace. And today that His glory is hidden or not fully clear to us to some at the extent that we will see Him. We enjoy the grace day by day. But in the fullness of it, all the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. Today all those things of this earth is very highlighted and beautiful. And things become very big in our sight. But everything will change, as the songwriter says there. John Bunyan, in his Bible, it says, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. It's a very famous saying. Somewhere somebody said he has this particular statement written in his Bible. Beloved, today as I talk to people and as we look at people's life, people have lost the interest of God's word. People have lost the interest, I said. I'm not saying you are reading Psalm 1 and 2, 1, 2 and 3 every morning and they pray and go to bed. I'm saying your interest in the things of God, in the word of God, to study, to read, to meditate, to understand to the extent that is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. It may not be to the extent it is revealed to Alex or Sam or me or anybody else, but the Spirit of God reveals His word to everyone who takes time and sit down and meditate upon it. Doesn't matter you are a man or a woman or a young girl or an older person. You may not ever preach from the pulpit, but are you a person who has interest in the things of God or the book in this book? There is no shortcut I can give you. If you want to be living outside of sin on your daily walk within your life, no other shortcut than this book. As this statement that we read together. Either this will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this. The idea of John throughout this chapter and other chapters is to live life of righteousness and love in our life. Verse 4 to 10, John says, we are living with the two natures we have. We were born into this world with a sinful nature. Now we are born again into the family of God with the character of righteousness and love, John says. There are two natures at the same time. We struggle that. We don't need to anybody to explain that to us. We know that in our, by nature we know, by our real existence we know that two natures fighting each other in our life. And some of the verses in this chapter is very scary. It scares people. It's fearful. It says, verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Now, let me explain that law means there. That the word law is not in a reference to the law that was given by Moses. Because sin existed before that. That's not when sin started. Sin started even before that. So it's the direct reference is not about the law that was given by Moses. In actual translation, it should really say sin is lawlessness. You may see that in some translation. And that is the very essence of sin as supported by other scriptures. Like Romans 4:5 and 4:15 and other passages in the scripture. It is the sin is the lawlessness in our life. Anything opposite to the righteousness of God. In verse 5, John says, He was manifested to take away our sins. Notice the word our. Who is he writing to? He's writing to the believers. He was manifested to take away our sins. Remember what John the Baptist said when he saw him? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of what? The world. He came to take away the sin of the world, which he accomplished there on the cross for everyone. But today John says he is manifest to take away our sins. You and I will never be perfect. I will not be, at least I must confess. Maybe you are. But the Lord God, John says, he came not only to put away the sin of the whole world, but also to take care of your sins and my sins. This is very important to understand the difference between the two. In the first instance, it is the basic work on the cross applicable to everyone in the world, because it says the whole world. In the second instance, we have the deliverance from the practice of sins for those who are already saved. Notice the word our sins. Sin shall not have a dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Matthew 1:21, we read like this, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people, not everybody, not the world. He shall save his people from their sins. The Lord saves us from the power of sin. The presence of sin, we will be in the presence of sin until we die or the Lord comes and takes us home. But the power of sin, we can overcome, because that is what the Lord is doing today in our life. A person who has been professed to accept Christ as his personal savior, have been justified by faith through his atoning blood, and yet goes on living in the world like anybody else, or like the world, show that he has never had a renewed nature. Either he is a hypocrite, or he himself is fooled to believe that he is a savior, he is saved. John makes it very clear here, it's not my words. A real born-again Christian will hate sin in which once we lived before. And I'm not saying that we will ever be sinless, but there is a solution for this. Some of these verses, when we read, when Asher was reading, he that committeth sin, verse 8 says, see, sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What a fearful verse that is. I got scared many times when I read those verses. And then I questioned myself, am I really saved? How do I sin sometime? But that is not what John's meaning here. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. There is a nature in which that you have been translated from the sinful nature into the God's nature of righteousness and love. But yet we live in these two natures, therefore we do sin. The Lord says there is a solution for that. When we return, my fear is gone, completely removed. But we turn back to chapter 2, verse 1. That's a wonderful verse we should never forget. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have an advocate. When you read through chapter 3 and read some of those verses that is fearful, go back to chapter 1 and read verse 1 again. We have an advocate at the right hand of God. Beloved, I will not be standing here this morning if he was not sitting there as an advocate. I would have been removed from the earth many times over. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. To further explain, how does this thing work then? You have seen budded trees. You take a tree and we bud another tree to that. And it grows as a new tree, not the original tree that is budded. But once in a while, along with the budded tree, a little root comes out of the bottom from the old tree. So if you don't prune it constantly and cut that old tree off and keep the new tree growing, at some point both will grow together and start producing the different fruits or different on the same type of fruit, but a different part intended for. I should give you an example. We have a mango in Florida. Some of you know I go there. We planted a mango tree. What is the name of the tree we bought, Molly? Kevin? Kent mango. We paid a high price for it. What happened? Because we are not there all the time, we planted a Kent mango, which is supposed to produce about this type of big mangoes. But it started growing together. We had no clue what is growing. At some point, the old mango from the bottom started growing along beside it. Now suddenly there are two kinds of types of mangoes on the same tree. When it started producing, some of them are like a small one. I was surprised what happened here. And a few branches has huge mangoes of this type. Why I said that is because it was budded, but the old tree also started coming up because I was not there to prune it and cut it off. Be careful, brothers and sisters. The old tree will come back. If you don't prune it and clean it regularly in your life, at some point they both will come together and start producing different types of same fruit, but different types. That's what you do. That's not what the Lord is looking for. So it is very easy to happen. A daily, ongoing, frequent pruning of the old tree that comes up. Then John puts a lot of emphasis in the following verses about love. Love is the divine proof of love, life, new life. Love is the evidence of divine proof a new born again Christian should and must have. If there is no love in you, and if it is not evident, as John says here, you have to question yourself, am I really truly
born again Christian. That is very evident that John says. The word love has three original languages. I am not expert in the original languages, but two of the languages as I was studying, one is philia, means affection, friendliness, love between friends, brothers, sisters, husband, wife, and sometimes between Christians. It's called philia, P-H-I-L-E-O. And the other kind of love, most of us know, is already, you can quote it by the agape love, means divine love, or God is agape, or as we read. Today, because of lack of that nature of the agape love that is given to us, because of the lack of love between God's people, there is great amount of jealousy among Christians. Great amount of jealousy among preachers, I must say. Great amount of jealousy, much more jealousy between singers and those who serve within the church in various capacity. Jealousy over Reggie, who can do better than I am. Jealousy over Robin, who can preach better than I am. Jealousy is built in the nature of people, and therefore there's a lot of problems due to lack of love that John is prescribing here for us. Simply because they compare with others and sometimes even go to the extent of personal attacking others and destroy their life and testimony of others. And John gives a perfect example here. I don't know if you paid attention. He brings in Cain. Cain, who destroyed and killed his brother Abel. Why? The fundamental reason was jealousy. Because his offerings was not accepted. We won't go take time to go. You know the story very well. This is very evident, very, very, very much you can see all around the world among Christians and God's people. I'm bringing this up because you as a person need to be careful. You cannot fix anybody else, but you must be careful. John, before he closed the chapter 3 here, he says, do these things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, he also brings a very practical thing I want to highlight here. Very practical. I can say all day long from morning till evening, Johnson, Johnson, I love you, I love you, I love you, you are my brother, I love you. But John says, look at what he says. Whosoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? In other words, answer is very clear. It doesn't. How can I say God's love abides in me if I see someone is suffering for lack of things that in their life which I already have and I shut them off? John says, how can you call yourself and tell that God's love abides in you? We must do good to everyone, says Paul, especially to the household of God. Beloved, practical application of love is very essential in our life. It is not simply the words. Many of you know that I work with an organization called Gospel Missions of India. Now, as days go by, the last few years, I've been more and more heavily involved. And let me say this to you with the heaviness of heart. Almost every single day of my life, I hear about people, God's people, suffering, lack of food, lack of medical needs, lack of homes to sleep in. People in the other parts of the world. And it aches my heart. Very few times, sometimes you may have received a phone call from me and saying, Sam, you want help? I'm just using him as an example. That's because my heart really pains when I see God's people suffer. When I have so much, I have more than enough. Or I can cut some off and still do the right thing. John makes that point absolutely clear here. And I hope if you were listening carefully when he was reading, How can you call and say that I have God's love in me when you see other brother suffering and turn him off? The Lord Jesus himself said an example. We won't take time to go there now. So do these things, John says, that are pleasing in his sight. Our self-examination will reveal that the Holy Spirit abides in our hearts, and the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are, there must be a fundamental character of righteousness into which that God has brought us into, or that we won't sin. There is a solution for that we already looked at. There must be a fundamental love towards God's people and other fellow believers, and a heart to desire, and a desire and a willingness to do what is necessary to help others. If, in conclusion, if we are truly born again, we are born by God, who is righteous and holy. He is our advocate sitting at the right hand of God for us. Number three, we should have a character of love because he is love. Number four, our love must be demonstrated by our love for the brethren. Number five, if our brethren are in need and we have the material blessings, we must show our love by providing for their needs. These are some of the high points that John put. There is a lot more in it. Our time is all up. I hope that you and I will take time to ponder upon my righteous living, my sinful natures, and my love for other brothers. And what do you do with it if you say that you love other brothers? It may not be the brothers that you and I see here. There are others whom you may not see who are suffering. And many of you get the magazine that's called Yes. And there is another one that talks about the people who are suffering in the world, persecuted Christians. I read that magazine when it comes. Voice of Martyrs. Sometimes we keep copies here. Oh my goodness, if you read those, if you are a truly true Christian, your heart should break. So many out there are suffering. Some may not be, maybe suffering for the very basic needs. How can I shut off my ears and eyes for such and call myself a true Christian? That's what John says here. And I hope it will encourage you, encourage me for the remainder of our life, that we may love him, love God's people, and continue to live a righteous life on this earth. Shall we pray? Our gracious God, loving Father, your word is unchangeable, is eternally sealed. This passage has been around for almost 2,000 years. It has been in our hands for many years since we came to know him, sitting in our homes. Father, we pray that it may continue to speak to me and to speak to each one of us, to do what John has instructed us to do. Do the right thing for his glory and blessing to his people. One day we shall see him. We will behold all his beauty and majesty and glory. And we shall truly appreciate what he has been doing, working in my life and each one of our lives. We give you thanks once again. We pray this, giving you thanks and worship and adoration, because you are alone are worthy to be worshipped. Accept our thanksgiving and praise and worship and praise, because we offer this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.